There is a noticeable difference between the Berachas Kriya Shema at night and the Berachas Kriya Shema during the day. And this is a point that is pointed out by Rav Chaim Kanievsky, a beautiful insight, that at night, when we say the Berachas Kriya Shema, we mention V'ro banav givuro so shibchu v'hodu l'shmo. Both at night and in the morning, we're describing our experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But at night, we are told V'ro banav givuro so. The children of God saw His incredible power, His might, on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Whereas in the morning, when we talk about our experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the very same one that we describe at night, we say, Alzo shibchu ahuvim. We're no longer called banim, we're rather called ahuvim. V'nasnu yedidim zemiro shiras v'tishbachos. So how come all of a sudden it changes from being described as banim lamakom as being ahuvim and yedidim? Very interesting insight. So he points out that there's a Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. The Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar writes, when the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, don't think that just because they just experienced all of the makos and they just saw everything that happened and now they're going free, don't think all of a sudden everybody was so wonderful. Says the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, HaMitzriim radfu acharei b'nei Yisrael ad ha-yamsuf. The Mitzriim were chasing after the Jewish people until the Yamsuf, v'chanu achareim, v'hayam elifneim. Now the Jewish people turn around and they see there's nowhere to go. They have the Yamsuf on one hand, they have the Mitzriim on the other hand, they don't know what to do, they're stuck. V'ro Yisrael ha-Mitzriim v'nisyaru har b'me'od. They were petrified, because what are we going to do now? V'sham hishlichu kol tovos Mitzrayim me'aleihem. And it was only at that moment that they were stuck, and they had nowhere else to turn. It is only then that they decided to get rid of all the Avodah Zarah that they were believing in, and to get rid of all the Averis that they had steeped to in the 49 levels of Tumah, as we're told in Mitzrayim, v'asu tshuva gedola v'karu lelohehem. It wasn't until that moment that they finally did a tshuva gedola v'karu lelohehem, and they called out to their God, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because they realized that they were stuck and they realized that they needed His help. Based on that, Reb Chaim Kanievsky suggests maybe that's why it means at night, before they did the tshuva process, when they were just leaving Mitzrayim and they were still full of Avodah Zarah, full of all the Averis, we are called V'ro banav givuroso. At night at Marav, we only call ourselves banim, because as we know, a child is a child whether you do the right thing or the wrong thing. The Navi Yeshaya calls us banim mashchisim. There are times in history when, unfortunately, we are given the divine appellation of the children who are wayward children, who aren't listening to their father. And that's why at night in Marav we say V'ro banav givuroso. However, in the morning, when we came to the time of tshuva, when we came to the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we came to the time when we threw away everything else, and asu tshuva gedola, as the Medrash tells us in Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, it's only then that we are given the incredible title of v'nasnu yedidim, of ahuvim, because a person becomes ahuv lamakom, you become God's best friend when you go through the process of tshuva. That's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, when he talks about the process that we go through, the evolution that happens through this time of year. Hatshuva mekareves es harechokim. The Rambam writes very famously that tshuva is able to bring back even those who think they are very far. Emesh Hayozeh, this person, just yesterday, was Sanoi Lifnei HaMakom. You were hated in the eyes of God. God didn't want to have anything to do with you. And he writes that you are Meshukatz, Meruchak, V'Toeva. You're an embarrassment. You're something God doesn't want to have anything to do with. You're a Toeva. V'Hayom, and yet today, after going through the step of Tshuva, Hu Ahuv V'Nechmad Karov V'Yedid. You become Ahuv V'nechmad v'karov v'yedid. That's exactly what we say in our davening. We started off as being banim, and then we go to the next level of becoming ahuvim and yedidim, as the Rambam writes. Once we go through the step of tshuva, that's all it takes to become something totally different, to go through a complete transformation, and now be the best friend, the closest person to God Himself. There's a fascinating comment of the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos to Maseches Parah. Now, how do I know the Pirush HaMishnayos to Maseches Parah? I have to confess that I've never learned the Pirush HaMishnayos HaMaseches Parah, so don't think that I did. Rav Asher Weiss, when I was younger, still pretty young, but he showed me, when I was much younger, this Pirush HaMishnayos LaRambam. Now, he's read all of them. So he said that the Pirush HaMishnayos writes as follows. Here's the Lashon of the Rambam. Hinei ein hevdel, says the Rambam. There is no difference between ish shalom nitmam me'olam b'meis. There's no difference between somebody who never came in contact with a dead body at all, we have a process that somebody's supposed to go through after they go to a funeral, after they attend a levaya, and now they become impure, now they become tamei. So you have to be sprinkled with the dam para, with the, not the dam, I'm sorry, with the efer para, with the ashes of the para aduma. Now you become tara. You go to the mikvah, you have the para aduma, now you're ready to go. Says the Rambam, there's no difference between you after going through that process and another person who never attended a Levaya in the first place. However, the difference is as follows, says the Rambam. Elo shazeh asher huza alav yoser gadol hamadrega betara. However, he says, even though the end result should be the same, because he never became Tameh, and he became Tameh and went through the steps of Tahara, says the Rambam, Zeh asher huza alav, this person that went through the process of having the Parah Aduma sprinkled on them, is Yoser Gadol Hamadrega Betara. He is on an elevated plateau of Tahara. He is even greater, he is even more sanctified, even more holy than the person who never became Tameh in the first place. Why? Lefisha Pasuk, Kvar Shafat Alav Shehutar. Because the Pasuk declares on you that you are Tahara. After going through this step of Tahara, the Torah now says, you will become Tahara after going through it. And therefore the Rambam argues, tremendous Chiddush, but he says, somebody who becomes Tameh and later on becomes a tar, is now more tar, so to speak, than the person who never became Tameh at all. Now, this is a very Mechudosh Diga Rambam, but it's a very beautiful Rambam. And certainly, when you think about that in this context, the Gemara has in Brachos, just keep that Rambam in mind, the Gemara has in Brachos, Daf Lama Dalid, a very famous discussion that Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that B'makom Shebalei Tshuva Omdim, I'm sorry, there's a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Abohu. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that the greatest person is the tzaddik gomer, the person who works their whole life to become a tzaddik and then ultimately achieves that. And they're much greater than the Baal Tshuva. However, Rabbi Abohu is of the opinion very famously that b'makom shebalei tshuva omdim ein tzaddikim gemurim yicholim lamad bo. When you have a Baal Tshuva who goes through the process, who goes through the steps of tshuva, and it doesn't only mean a Baal Tshuva like we call in our generation a Baal Tshuva. It means all of us. We're all considered to be Baal Tshuva if we take this time of year seriously. So the Gemara says, you are greater than the Tzaddik Gomer. That's the discussion that the Gemara has. So there's a famous discussion why this should be the case. So Rashi writes, actually in Sefer Bereishis, Rashi writes, why are we called Rivka, Bas Besuel, Ha'arami, Mipadan Aram, Achaz Lavan? Why do we go down in history? Why do we want to remind ourselves of the fact that she was the brother and the sister and the daughter of somebody who was such a terrible person, who came from such a horrible land? So Rashi says the reason why is lehagid shivcha. It's in order to tell you the praise, how incredible she was. Listen to her strength, shahaisa bash Russia. She was the daughter of a Russia. She was the sister of a Russia. She grew up in a community of everybody was Rishayim, and yet she emerged as the great Rivka v'lo lamda mimaaseim. She did not learn from their ways. She was able to elevate herself. The Chiddush Arim writes on Chumash that perhaps this is the reason why when we have the blood of a dam chatas, when we have a blood of a carbon chatas that somebody brings for violating an avera, the Chiddush Arim points out that the pasuk tells us you have to sprinkle that on the top half of the mizbeach, whereas a carbon ola, a person sprinkles that blood on the bottom half of the mizbeach. Suggests the Chiddush Arim, perhaps the reason why is because the person who goes through a tshuva process and now is bringing a carbon chatas to make good for all the terrible averas, for all the transgressions that they have violated, you belong at the top of the Mizbeach. You're greater than anybody else, and therefore your blood from your carbon is sprinkled all the way on top because we recognize the challenges that you went through to come to this point. We understand how hard it was for you. You had a challenge, you failed in your challenge, and now you've lived up to what you can learn and what you can grow from that awful experience that you had. The Gemara tells us in Menachos and other places as well that Rabbi Kiva had a practice when he learned Torah. Not only did he learn Torah like everybody else, but al kol kotz v'kotz, on every single little tag on top of the Sefer Torah, on top of every letter, everything that was there, he used to learn tilei tilim shel halachas. He would learn intricate details of every halacha, not from the words of the Torah itself, but also from the little tagim that are on top of the words as well. Now this is interesting, because if there's something to learn from the tagim, how come nobody else had that idea? Everybody else only thought to learn from the words. Rabbi Kiva went above and beyond. He said, no, we have to learn from the Tagim as well. How come he was the only one that thought of that? The Ksav Sofer writes so beautifully, because when you learn about the previous history of Rabbi Kiva, we're told in the Midrashim that Rabbi Kiva lived until the year 40 in his lifetime. He was 40 years old. He didn't know a word of Torah. He was a complete Am Haaretz. And then he made a complete transformation. You have somebody who goes through an experience like that, 40 years of nothingness. Imagine what their perspective is going to be now that they have the incredible opportunity to learn Torah. Now they're going to say, there's nothing that we take for granted. Everything can be learned from. Not only the words, but Rabbi Kiva went above and beyond all of his chaverim, all of his friends, because he said, I know what appreciation of Torah means. You all grew up with this, but I didn't. I only came to this later in life, and therefore I'm going to learn not only from the words of the Torah itself, but from the tilei tilim shel halachos, from the tagim on top of the words as well. This is what Rav Soloveitchik writes in the Sefer Ala Tshuva, It's a strange comment that the Gemara makes that if a person does tshuva, zedonos nasan lo kischuyos, all the wrongdoings that we have done become schusim, they become mitzvah. So what is this, magic? All of a sudden, God switches everything and makes it into a schus. The Chassam Sofer writes and the Tosis Yom Tov that this is why we sing Ashamnu Bagadnu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's a strange thing. Why do we sing Ashamnu? It doesn't make sense. Why are you singing it? Says the Tosis Yom Tov, the reason why is because every avera that you've done in the year, if you do a sincere tshuva, is what to sing about, because it's becoming a schus. So what exactly does that mean? How does it turn into a schus just because you're doing tshuva? So if Soloveitchik suggests, maybe what it means is because somebody who goes through that experience and fights themselves, their inner instinct to become somebody totally different and to fight it off and to allow themselves to have a different life going forward, imagine how much more they're going to take seriously the laws of the Torah that they never took seriously before. And like Rabbi Kiva, when you have an appreciation that you didn't grow up with, so when you come to something later on, then you have a much greater appreciation and you're able to invest of yourself so much more than you ever used to. We used to violate an avera. I used to have a life that was my life before. Now that I'm doing tshuva and I'm becoming someone else, I have a greater and newfounded appreciation for all the mitzvahs HaTorah. And that's what it means. Zedonos, nasas, lo kischuyos. All the wrongdoings that I did, all the averas that I violated, now will propel me forward in a much greater and a much more intensified manner to perform all of the mitzvahs HaTorah. And that's perhaps why Rabbi Kiva is the one who is Darish Tile Tilim Shal Halachas, because he has a more profound appreciation for Torah, more so than anybody else. That's why Rivka, we are told that her family was Rishayim, and her brother was a Rasha, and her community is Rishayim, because that's how she emerged as a Rivka. She lived through all of that, and she came to recognize on her own how much greater the meaning of life really was. There is a famous Gemara in Tainus Daf Chafei, where the Gemara says a story about a generation who didn't have rain. And they got everybody together, they started to be mispalo, and the Gemara tells us that the great Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, Rabbi Elazar was the Rebbe of Rabbi Kiva, the great Rabbi Elazar HaGadol got up and he offered 24 Esem V'Yara Brachos, he offered 24 Tfilos in order that the rain should fall, and nothing worked. God wasn't listening to him. All of a sudden Rabbi Kiva, the student, steps up to the plate and they tell him what's going on. Rabbi Kiva steps up and he says, nothing to worry about. He calls out, Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lanu Melech Ela Ata, which is fascinating. That's what we say, it's a Tfilah of Rabbi Kiva. He calls out, Ein Lanu Melech Ela Ata, and he says, Avinu Malkeinu, Leman Charachem Aleinu. Two sentences, that's it. All of a sudden, the gates of heaven open up, and the problem is taken care of. So the Gemara says, Ranenu Ha'am Acharav. Everyone starts turning to each other, saying, hey, look, Rabbi Elazar tries to offer 24 tefillos. I would imagine 24 tefillos, he's probably sitting there for hours and hours. Everybody's watching him, steeped in his tefillah. But yet, he's not answered. All of a sudden, Rabbi Kiva comes along, says two lines, and God opens up the gates of heaven. How could it be? Says the Gemara, that a Basco came out and said, no. Lo mipnei shezeh gadol mizeh, it is not because Rabbi Kiva is greater than his Rebbe Rabbi Elazar, ela rather shezeh mavir al midosa v'zeh eino mavir al midosa. Rather it's because Rabbi Kiva is the one who is benevolent, who is kind, who is mavir al midosa. He's not such a stickler for his own covet, for his own honor. He gives up when people do things wrong to him. He doesn't care, he doesn't mind, and Rabbi Elazar is not. So the simple way that we understand it is, if a person is Mavar Al-Midosav, God will also be Mavar Al-Midosav. God will listen to you what you want just because you're humble in the way others treat you. Ask the B'nai Yo Ben Yoyada, he asks, I don't understand. That means, if you're Mavar Al-Midosav and Rabbi Elazar is not, it means you are greater than your Rebbe. You do something that your Rebbe cannot do. So why does the Gemara say, Lo Mepnei Shezeh Gadol Mizeh? He's not greater than his Rebbe, just he's Mavar Al-Midosav. If he's Mavar Al-Midosav, it means he's greater. So what is the Pshat in the Gemara? How do you understand the story in the Gemara? Answers the Ben Ayo, he says as follows. It doesn't mean Mavir al Midosav in Midos Ben Adam Lachavero. It means that Rabbi Kiva is a person who didn't grow up with the appreciation of Yiddishkeit the way he did later on. He was Mavir al Midosav means he went beyond his natural inclinations, his tendencies that he was born with. Rabbi Elazar was born into the system. He was born into keeping Shabbos, into keeping kosher, into doing all the halachas the way everybody else does. Rabbi Kiva was Mavir al Midosav. Means he went through challenges in his life. He overcame so much to become who he became, and that's why God listened to him, because the experience of all those challenges, of trying to overcome everything, all of the difficulties that he had in his life, made him into somebody who was stronger, made him into somebody who was an ahuv and nechmad and naim, not because he's greater than Rabbi Elazar, but because God loves him so much. All of us are banim lamakom, but sometimes you have banim mashchisim. Sometimes you have children who don't do the right thing, who don't listen to their parents. But when you go through the process of tshuva, like the Rambam tells us, you become a ohuv and nechmad v'fnei hamakom. You are more beloved to God, and that's what the Gemara means, why Rabbi Kiva became Ahu v'neman, and why God listened to him. This is what the Medrash says. Unbelievable Medrash. The Medrash tells a story about a melech who had a big collection of sheep and of goats and a whole bunch of pasture, and he used to send out his shepherds every day to watch the goats and to let them roam around, and then they would bring them back in. One day, a deer, a gazelle, comes running into the flock, and they inform the melech, what are we going to do? There's a few hundred goats, a few hundred sheep, and now a deer comes running into this flock. So the melech says, make sure you have a few shepherds only focusing attention on that gazelle, on that beautiful tzvi, and bring it back, bring all the sheep back, and make sure you have a few shepherds looking out carefully only for that tzvi going forward. So they go to the melech, they say, we don't understand, you have a few hundred sheep and a few hundred goats, and never did you tell us that we should have such careful attention for all those. How come for the tzvi, for the wild deer, all of a sudden you're telling us we have to have, such a careful lookout for him? Says the melech, you know why? Because the natural tendency of the sheep and of the goat is, they roam around a little bit, but then they always come back. They always stay local. The deer's natural tendency is that he runs wild. Something that runs wild needs a shmira mu'ula. Something that runs wild, says the Medrash, deserves that I should put on him special attention. And that's the same thing the Medrash says, God says about us. If somebody's born at Tzadik Gomer, if somebody is born into a system where they become tzadikim overnight, they don't have challenges, they don't have to overcome as much as some others, they're like the goats. God looks out for them, it's okay, you have some shepherds, it's not a concern that you're going to run too far away. But somebody who grew up like a tzvi, somebody who grew up in the wild world that we live in, and somebody who lives through the challenges that we live through in our generation, God says he needs a shmira me'ula. I'm going to assign myself to that person to make sure they are ahu v'nechma, to make sure I look after them because I understand how much they had to overcome all the wilderness out there in order to come and join my flock, and that person deserves more attention than anybody else deserves. Either way, the Rambam paskins in that Gemara, who's greater, the Baal Tshuva or the Tzadik Gomer? The Rambam paskins that the Baal Tshuva is greater. And the Mefarshim ask on the Rambam that we have a psak halacha over here that would seem to go against the rules. Generally, when we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and somebody else, the halacha is always like Rabbi Yochanan b'chol makom. The halacha is always like Rabbi Yochanan. And yet over here, we have a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Abo. Who's greater, the Tzadik Gomer or the Baal Tshuva? And the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Abo, that the Baal Tshuva is greater. Why does the Rambam go against the regular rule that he set out, that we always assume that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who is correct lehalacha? Why does the Rambam not quote that? And the answer that some give is, well, maybe that rule only applies by halacha, it doesn't apply by an agada. That's the simple answer. But Rav Asher Weiss suggested to me, maybe the reason why over here the Rambam goes, like Rabbi Abo, that a Baal Tshuva is greater, is because of the Rambam's comment that we started with. In Meseches Parah, the Rambam writes, somebody who goes through a process of tahara is more tahar, is more sanctified, is more holy than somebody who never became tamei in the first place. And therefore the Rambam, in line with his own train of thought, the Rambam tells us that this is also the perspective when it comes to somebody not only with ritual impurity, but also with spiritual impurity. When a person has the opportunity to go through life and have difficulties and have challenges and then overcome all of that and become a Baal Tshuva, the Rambam is teaching us, you have the opportunity to be a greater tzaddik, to be more ahuv, to be more na'im, to be more nechma to God than anybody else who never went through all of those difficult years of life the way Rabbi Kiva did and the way so many others that the Gemara teaches us. Chanani ben Akasha.